theorem is not as clear as it seems to be. Translate the theorem to prayer. Now, to translate an ancient language into a modern tongue is quite difficult. The frame of mind of the ancients is different from ours. And it needs a great linguistic, artistic capacity to translate old words, ancient words, into modern words. But even if someone would be able to do so, it is nearly impossible to translate adequately Lashon HaKodesh, the divine language, into a secular tongue. Prayer is like the German Gebet, actually means a request. The translation of prayer is Bakosha, Gebet, pray. In English means plea. It's a request. Well, it's true that our tefillah contain also request, but it is not the same as a request. You think of a tefillah like a Don Olam, one of the beautiful tefillahs, a Don Olam. It certainly is not a prayer in the sense of a request. You're requesting nothing. Olenu l'shabeach. It's not a request. I'm not requesting anything. So we leave it untranslated. We talk about tefillah. The word comes from the root kolav, which means to think, contemplate. Lo filalti. The oath for never lo filalt. Yaakov says when he meets Yosef after 22 years, I never would have thought that I will see your face again. Filalt means to think. Halili means judges. Give opinions. To have an opinion, to judge. Dishalel means to think about oneself, or reflect on oneself, or if we look for an English translation which is halfway adequate, it would mean meditate. But this is thinking about oneself, meditate. However, the word Kolal is related to Golal, which means mixing one ingredient into other things. Into Solet, Belulo, Tatema. Flour mixed with oil. So the oil penetrates every bit of flour to make it go out. We, in the tefillah, we are putting one ingredient into all our thoughts and feelings and emotions. That ingredient is Hashem. In other words, we're mixing the awareness of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, intermingling it with all our needs, our feelings, our emotions, with our gratitude, with our desires, with our longing, with our yearning. So this is the thing. So you can only try attempt to explain it, but it's very difficult to translate. But unfortunately, we're not completely ignorant, we just leave it like that. So we have to talk about this. Now, when the first human being was created, he was all alone, one human being. And it says that Hashem blew into his nostrils a breath of life, with Nishmas Ruach Chaim, man became a living being. And the Talmud says, man became a ruach memalala, a speaking spirit. He had the power of speech. Now, who was he talking to or with? With the Lord. So he was communicating with Akhurus. The first human speech was the fifth. It was communication with Akhurus. Nobody else could talk. So the filler means the basic human speech. The basic human speech. And we are in trouble, Pastor. And we call out, "Oh God!" This moment. This is basic speech. This is for the Mauritian language. We're falling back to the original use of human language. We're talking to our Pastor. Now, where does it say in the Torah that we're supposed to say to him? That's the figure of one of the most important mitzvahs. And we do say Tachneses for the purpose to be a base for Tilo. And Shaya Hanovi has promised that eventually, in God's own time, and bring back to my house, and my house, the Beis Hamikdash of the future, will be a Beis Tefillah L'Cholo Ami, house of Tefillah for all the nations. Now where does it say the Torah that you have to do this? It doesn't say anything. But we have a portion in the Torah which we will be finishing up. That Odo proposed to Lavav Tev to the Cholma. To serve God with all your heart, all your soul. Avoda is usually resorted to or referring to Avoda Hakorbona, the service of the korban, the sacrifice. Now, this is done with our hands. So I'm going to do it with your body. But Avoda Shebelei, to serve God inside the heart, that is. So, according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs is to serve God with our heart, meaning the tefillah. So, it is a mitzvah in our Torah to say the tefillah to our Kodesh. However, the Torah has given no regulation what to say, when to say it, how often, where to say it, in which form, how to say it. This is the Torah has left to the individual. So it was all through the time of the Tanakh, that the Tefillahs were said by individuals, whenever they were inclined to do so. Wherever they were inclined to do so, they did not have a structured tefillah. But some, we see some tefillahs, tefillah Moshe, tefillah David, we see Tehillim, these are tefillahs. So every individual, according to his best ability, was composing his or her own tefillah. And because either were repeated, or each time they were changed. There was no law what to say, how to say, in which form, when, and where. That was throughout the time of the Tanakh, until the very end, there were the spirit of Nebuah, of prophecy, was alive within our people. You know, we have many Nevi'im and Nevi'ot. But somehow, every Jewish man or woman was capable at a given moment to elevate himself or herself to the status of a Nevi and propose the Tefillah. And as the Chatam Sofer has already called attention to, that the Tefillah and the Nevuah are very much alike. Nebuah means communication with God. Hashem speaks to man, and man answers Hashem. It's a dialogue where the prophet and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu convert. The Tefillah is also conversation. This we said when we have a Yeti Yitzchok, Lo Suach Basur. Yitzchok went out to converse in the field, and means Tefillah. Eshpostichi Mechonech. I pour out my conversation. I talk things with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only difference is that in the case of prophecy, there is a two-way conversation. That means the knower speaks to Hashem, and Hashem speaks to the knower. The Tefillah is a one-way conversation, but it's the same miraculous relationship that the human being is in communication with God and speaks to Him. This is itself something so marvelous that we fail very often to realize the mysticism and the great sanctity which that very word of Tefillah implies. We're talking to our good soul. So when the Nebuah gradually subsides, the time of the Amshik Mesos HaGdolo the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, since there was no Nebuah, became necessary, since people could not compose their own Tefillahs anymore, at least not Tefillahs that were worthy to be said vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nevi, who was still living, the last prophet, the men of the great assembly who comprised many Nevi'im, they composed for us the text of most of our Tefillah, our Brochot and our Tefillah. And when we say today Shmoneh Esrei or the Birkat Shema or most of our Tefillah, these are compositions that go back 2,500 years, and we're just repeating words which were composed by prophets. So when we translate and explain the Tefillah, we can do so similar to the way we explain a portion in Tanakh. Every word counts. Every letter counts. So this is the first beginning of the Tefillah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah also made some kind of order, a system, a pattern, the Kedusha, dominion, Kriyas HaTorah in the middle, and so forth. The whole structure of the Tefillah, the way we know them until this day. Now, basically, the Tefillah is divided into three main Tefillahs, namely Shachrit, Mincha, and Matzah. Shabbat, Musaf, and Pesach. Shabbat. Now, these three periods are structured according to a certain pattern. This is why I call the series the structure of our Tefillah. Follows the pattern. And there is a two opinions, the more and the more. What is the pattern? One opinion is, which is most familiar, that it follows the pattern of Avraham Yitzchok. Shach is composed by Avraham, not necessarily the words that we say for Shach, but the idea that you Vayashkim Avraham Bavokya. He gets up and speaks up with Shom in the morning. That Nevi was initiated by Avraham. Yitzchok, which knows Erev towards the evening, in the afternoon, that you say the people, the conversation that was spoken. Finally, Yaakov at night, Yitzchok, Avraham, Yoram Sham, who is in the middle of the night, Alifka means the fish. Now, it has been the mark very cleverly, very appropriately, that the lifestyle and the life experiences of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that it corresponds to Shabbat Mincham. Avraham is the rising sun. Avraham Avinu is the rising sun. He goes out in the world, he's recognized by the Umas Ha'olam. We have that today in the Zedrumen, when the people in the city of Bnei Pesach are only anxious to deal with him. He's the seer of Kim Atavus Ha'olam. You're a prince of God in our midst. And if you compare human life to the appearance of the sun, as the light, glorious light, life-giving, splendor-spreading, luminary. So this is the life of Avraham Avinu, which is full of splendor, glory, is recognized for all his rich, his wealthy, his powerful. All the things happen to him, least in the cause, and the people are anxious to adore him, to follow him. He makes a lot of followers, and he is highly respected, honored. His whole life experiences is the sun getting brighter, lighter, more luminous all the time. This is our problem. Yitzchak is also rich and known and recognized. That's already he begins to go towards the choice, chase out from the company of the Philistines. He's told that we have people told us and even in this week that he has already experienced some of the unpleasantness of the Golan in his connection with the Philistines and with Abimelech and so forth. And then, of course, his life is clouded by the fact that his son hates us in some way, by his daughters-in-law who worship the idols. And eventually his son Yaakov had to run away from the house. And so Yitzchak is already the sun going down. The shadows of the evening are lengthening. And when he dies, Yitzchak is to spend the rest of his life in blindness, solitary confinement, because he's completely, totally bye-bye. And he has realized that his son Esav is a failure. His son Yaakov has to run away and hide for his life in somewhere in the distance. So this is Yitzchak. It's Minchat time. It's the afternoon. The shadows of the evening are approaching. Yaakov is night. Yaakov is complete night. He's imagine Yaakov when he runs away from his brother Esav, who wants to kill him, and he runs towards his uncle, Lavan, who betrays him, and then all his experience that he has, that Dina and Reuven, and finally Rachel dies, and then Yosef, and then so Yaakov's life is the darkness of the night. And Yaakov teaches that no matter how dark the night, finds the way of communication with him. Avraham teaches us, no matter how happy you are, how glorious your lifestyle, how marvelous your experiences, it's all due to after the show of using the water, and in between it is when the brightness of the day turns to the darkness of the night. This is music that symbolizes the various experiences. There are some people who go through life and experience both three phases. Some people, very few people, only have sunshine in their life. Very few people only have darkness in their life. Most of them are like this, but out in between, it's a mingling, pain of our bodies, sunshine and shadow mingle. So this is why our home is the most important prayer is contrary to what we may think. The shortest, but it's the most important. And the Yohan, I know you have answered, only a particular kind. That is one explanation. The other explanation is that the tefillahs connected to me, that they correspond to the sacrifice. The Torah says that they have to bring a korban in the morning, a korban shachrit, with the stomach of shachar, the morning sacrifice. You have to bring one in the afternoon, korban shabbat on fire, and then all the pieces of meat and fat of the various korbanos that were then burned upon the fire on the mizbeach all throughout the night. So the marit is corresponding to the burning of the korbanos, the leftovers of the korbanos during the night. So here we see already how the Rabbanim will tell us how we have to consider the tefillahs following a certain pattern, that they're not just repetition of the same thing, and we'll see that it goes much deeper than what hits the surface. Because when we look at the tefillah shachar, and the tefillah shachar that we have, we see that this tefillah is divided into four main parts in one appendix, an afterthought, an epilogue. But it's four main parts. So the Siddur, I assume you're all familiar with it. We have from the very beginning, down along, up to Bol Sheol. That's the first part. The Kaddish. Then we have from Bol Sheol to Mishtaba, the second part. The Kaddish. Then from Mishtaba, from Bol Sheol, which is going to Esther. There are no Kaddish, he said, but he goes back to the twice Shmuna Esther, and then comes Shmuna Esther. Comes to Shmuna Esther. This is the main part of it. So it follows after Shmuna Esther, like an epilogue, concluding part of the tree. Now this is actually the basic division between the, of the various parts of the, Now, when you think of the Beit HaMikdash, let me give a little description of the Beit HaMikdash, the architecture of the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody knows Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of holies. This is where the Kohen Gadol could enter only on Yom Kippur. This is the furthest part, come from the east and go to the west. Going to the Beit HaMikdash, come from the east and go to the west. That's the difference from the way we built our shul. We enter the shul from the west and come to the east. The holiest place of the Shemitah was the west. When you stand at the Kodesh Malomi, you're outside of the Beit HaMikdash on the west side. That means inside of the Kodesh Malomi used to be the Kodesh HaKadosh, the holiest of the holiest place, inside the Kodesh Malomi. Now, the cosmos is the holy. Right before the Kodesh HaKadosh came the Hekel. Hekel is called the power. Or actually the word comes from Yochel, means powerful, able to do something. It's the powerhouse. What was in the Hekel? The Hekel that stood the Menova, the Shuka. On one side the Menova, and the Menova is similar. Spiritual life to produce people. The Shulchan, the bread, was the Mahoma, the symbol of physical life to produce people. Physical existence to produce people. In the middle was the golden Mizbeah to burn the incense, the color, the golden Mizbeah. That was the Hekel. Then when you get out of the Hekel, further away, you come into the Ulam. Ulam was a big hall. It was an empty hall filled with golden chains from one end to the hall to the other. Golden chains hanging from the golden crowns. This was the precarious stuff to go into the Hekel. When you go out from the Ulam, Then you come in what we call Azova. Azova means the courtyard. This is where the Mizbeah stood. The Mizbeah is where the animals were offered to God for the disposal, and as well as the flour, the oil, the wine, water, and the Mizbeah. Now, in front of the Mizbeah, the Mizbeah was in Ezra's square. In front of the Mizbeah, there were 15 steps going down. They stood to the beam and sang their song, and then came from Ezra's notice. That was for everybody, for men and women. When you look at the tefillah, you have a similar arrangement. You enter into the golden gate of the Ezra's notion in the first hall, that's Adon alone. That's where you enter into the tefillah. Now you follow. Go up 15 steps, there are 15 prophets, 15 prophets that lead up to the Azor. And then in the Azor there is the Mizbeah. We have Isaiah, Hashem, and Moshe, the Kabbonah, Abraham, Abraham, Shilis, Walking. Here's the Torban, Kabbonah, Sabin, Sacrifice. So you are now in the first part of the Bishamit. Then you come into the hall in the Ulam, the golden chain, and you imagine the Sukkot is in it. One song, another poetry, hallelujah, another hallelujah, and it goes all the way till you come to Yishtar. Then you come again to the gate, and you enter into the Hebel. And in the Hebel, in the middle of the Hebel, there's a Mizbeah on the east end. This is fine, so let's move. It's surrounded by the menorah, Yotzeh HaMa'orah. The Noah talks about the Torah, Avo Rabo, Torah, and then on the other side, there's Emes V'yatzeh, the physical existence of the Jewish people who live with law. Holy and you go inside the prophet, then you go to the sister, and the cross Bible is that way. So you see that it explains, and you have to go 3 steps back to the back. So back, so back out of the Ulam, out of the Tehov, out of the Ulam, the 3 steps, then you're back to where you started. Before this one has to go 3 steps forward, they come in the holy of the building, that's from the of Jesus. You can see how this thing was the architecture of the city. But this goes much, much deeper. So from here, in doubt if I like to say what you report. We distinguish between 4 different worlds. And that corresponds to the Semitic architecture. One is our world, the human world in which we live. This is on Earth, live on Earth. People have chosen this planet. We're working here, the human beings. We have our mitzvahs, responsibilities that we live with each other. And that the world is constantly working on this world. This world is continuous. It depends on the behavior of our if we behave ourselves, a control will let this world bring it to a happy end. Such we show this day, the catastrophe, that the control is still old stage to mind world. It's constantly finishing this world for a field. The world where the control is still doing. It hasn't finished it. This world is he has finished nature. But as far as the world is concerned, the human world in which we find ourselves, and the Shkola is still working. It depends, Tzadiki, Rashoim, good, bad, and depending on human behavior, I can Shkola guide the destiny of every day, every moment, and this is this world, that where Shkola is still finishing the world. This is Olam Ha'atzia, the world of the human being. But then there is a world which goes closer to the
It's about our universe. That's the universe. This is the universe. Creation has nothing to do with us. We are part of it. We are all part of the bigger universe. That's called the whole of my sphere. That's creation. Creation. It's nature. Everything I can draw is created in nature. Everything I can draw is created in the past. This is a little past which cannot be changed anymore. And it's the whole cosmos, from the smallest, tiniest micro to the largest galaxy. We are right in the midst. Scientifically speaking, in the midst. When you think of the tiniest particle of the nucleus of an atom on one side, as the smallest thing, and a super galaxy which has billions of suns as the largest thing, and we are right in the midst. And this is the universe, the cosmos, that's all the mighty thing, the world of creation. It's not the human world. We only one tiny speck. So we have all the mighty. Here is our world. Then there comes all the mighty. He's a creature. But then there's something else. There's something a supernatural. That's the world where we have the Maloka. They are over. It's something we can hardly understand. The Kitab is spiritual being. It's the Olam HaNeshamos. We call that Briya. Briya. Briya means it comes from nothing. Yesh Me'at. It is a spiritual world. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu created the physical world with all the stars and the heavenly bodies and the elements and so forth, created a spiritual world. These are the Malachim, the Kruvim, Om, the Mala, the Kedushim, the Kedushim, and then the Neshamos, the Kitiakum, we don't know what it is, all this which is above the world. All the spiritual creations of our Kodesh book. So this is the third one. Then comes down to the sun. There is nothing. Infinity. And only our Kodesh book. Ain't so. That's how it is. Activus means it removes from our grasp. We cannot do it. We only know ain't open and bother. There's nothing back after this. Nothing. Not even spiritual people. Nothing but him after this. These are the four words. Now, we just want to ask the power of the second half. First time is from Esther. This is our world. This is our human world. We start out, and this is the dying, this is our world. Then we make a broker that we can see, we can hear, we can dress, we can walk, we can stand. Our world, the physical, the human world, which we find ourselves. And this human world is presented a lot of danger to ask after this Bohu that he should help us. Make our neighbor from bad friends and bad enemies and save us. And then in this world we have to make Kaddish, Shimuch, Boravim. And this is the world where we have to make sacrifice, the Kabbalah symbolizing our sacrifice to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. That this is the human world. So we go through from Adon Olam to Bor She'omah. That's our world. That's the world of the Kaddish. Then begins the world of nature. This is the hallelujah. The whole world is told on the Shomer Tavis. The whole world is praising our Kodesh Baruch Hu. All creatures, the smallest, the biggest, everything. Everything, sun, moon, stars, the ruach, the aura of Kitab, and the smoke, and the fire, and everything. The hallelujah of the whole creation. This is the world of creation. Sukhya the thing. We sing. The creation is thought of a big, like a big concert, a big symphony, orchestra. Everybody's playing. Everybody's singing to Akadosh Baruch Hu. You hear that David HaMelech hears how everything is singing, from the blade of grass to a little bird
to the mighty star that goes through space. Everybody's singing praises after the book. Go on, trouble down and go. And he closes up with a tremendous and the old thing, Fiat Yamtu. They go back to it. And we go to third. That's the word of the mother. So we hear no Sumer Shoros and Asher Mishoros, so we hear the mother from St. Kaddish, St. Kedusha, and then from Afani Mechai Sakodin, Barat Godot. It's the world of the luminary, the Malochim, and in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed our Neshama, Nishmas Yisroel, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisroel, and there, Shema Yisroel. Here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we exhibit ourselves to a supernatural world. Because it's God, Abocha, Babochali, has chosen us, has lifted us up to a supernatural world. Here's the world of the Neshama, Shema Yisrael, we give our life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Tzitzu, Rachid, Abacha, Vavei Nesha. Only Kedusha. And then comes, finally, again, the Geula. Emes, Liyakim, the absolute Geula. We are coming to the end of this world of the Spirit. And why it's good. Here we are, only alone with our only alone with our so here, again, this is the structure of the city. Now, we have two kinds of the city. Just as there is a body in itself, so we have the pillar of the body and the pillar of the soul. The pillar of the soul is the pillar where nothing is done except we say the word. In fact, we could even think the word. But we say the word, and nobody hears what we say. This is what Hana prays, she says, after the day of Noah, whom in a mystical movie, Kola Lo Yishon. The soul that prays doesn't even mean, you know, they pray myself. If the inside, the human soul, the neshama, says the tefillah doesn't even mean, it doesn't mean anything. Only have to say the word. Have come on and to say what you have to say. You need nothing. You need no action. No physical, no material action. The body, and the body says it. Hold on, most like the marvelous. All my physical faculties are good. That's why you have to stand up, to bow down, go forward, go backward, and you lift yourself up like you do, and you take up the seven toes, and you go around with it, you may go all through all kinds of motions. The body has to act it out. And when you talk about the body, you need 10 to symbolize the blood, through a minion. That is actually every shoe, every bit of nature. Is composed of two parts. That's the real style of the technique that we build. The man downstairs, that's the prayer of the group of the body. The women upstairs, that's the shoe on top of the shoe, is where only say the two quiet. So that's the pillar of the soul. Since the soul is higher than the body, that's why the women have to be approaching the lava. So this is, when they changed the shoe and took away the women's gallery, then when all these things started, the women felt that they were put in the back and they treated like second-class citizens. It wasn't meant like that. The women were supposed to be up. They looked up. Not on the sides, not the back someplace. This is not the way a shoe was built. This is an American This is not the way she was. Today, the whole emphasis on the machit. The machit is that you have to have a separation. It's not. A separation is something which is because you are higher, you have to have a separation. The idea is there are two kinds of facility. So it says, the ovdo, we call it vavchem, we call it The heart and the soul. The heart is the physical emphasis. The soul is understood. There's a spiritual tefillah which is composed only of saying the word. Nothing. This is the way the women pray. We find it in the Tanakh, the Torah, Noshim HaTorah, Pesach HaOmoy, women that congregate, Pesach HaOmoy, and Adam explained that it means that they'll congregate to take the Tzibur. Right next to the HaOmoy. But those we don't find at the men came, the women. So the women congregate to find Anna, who goes right away to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Mishkan in Shiva, when her heart is so overfilled with her own problems, to go to Mishkan, to go there and say her tefillah. So this is the tefillah of the soul. But the tefillah of the soul is supposed to be, this is women symbolized. You need no action, no drama, dramatization. Down at the lower part, there's where you dramatize the tefillah by acting it. You need a pattern, you need a tefillah, you need the various motions, all kinds of motions. And this is where the Torah is taken out from the roof is being shaken, when the hakkokos are being made and people are called up from the dark. This is all because the body has to act it out, while the soul speaks to us of it. So speaks of it. So this is the other division. Now we go to the first. And we see that when we think of the structure of the spirit, we see that symbolism of day and night. You know how the Rishbohu has two relationships with us. One is Hashem, the other is the king, usually explained as Bibel Sa'achim in the sun. Find that the Rishbohu is a merciful father. We are children, he is our father, he takes care of us, we turn to him in our needs and our troubles. So this is Hashem, Bibel Sa'achim. The other is that the Rishbohu is a strict judge, who was managing to punish with us, who doesn't let anything wrong go by without being rectified, even through suffering. This is Akhenobo Tester, this is the strict of Midasaki. But we say Hashem Rechot, all the same Hashem, except sometimes it relates to us Midasaki, sometimes Midasaki. Now, when we think of daytime and nighttime, and we associate daylight with Midasaki, at night with Midasaki. This is why the Tzibur Shachrit starts out with the time. Soon as the prayers for mercy, Shlichas are being said very early in the morning before the day arrives, because the time of mercy begins. So to anticipate the mercy of the Israel, then you say, Amei Elohom Sadom Olei Olarachami. Everything Berachami. You find right after Bokor. The word Rachamim, the Rachim Olein, the word Rachamim is introduced because this is the sun is rising. And to us it's a symbol of the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his lifetime behind. And the sun is setting, and the darkness comes down upon earth, then this is a, for us the symbol of the Din, Mita Tadim, of the Bible scriptures, therefore we don't refuse it at night. After midnight, we go to very short morning. But in the evening night, it's the Midas Hakim. This is why when an oval darkness is so common, it is preferably done at night, for mass. Because the father, that the stroke will be merciful to the soul of his father or mother. Who is now undergoing the judgment, because right after the man, soul is judged, and so that he uses the tool of mar as a means to his power, especially to his mar, to his power because it's deep, because it's deep. Now, this is explains the differences in the tefillah of Shachrit. Midaset is somehow in between. Midaset goes from the daylight, from the Rachamim, to towards the Midaset. Now we go a little further, and we say the structure of the tefillah. We take, say, an example. From the tefillah, the tefillah itself, the basis of the tefillah is that we are talking to our Creator, the Maker. If somebody doubts without giving that a thought, it is next to meaning. They kill us, love Kabono, they say that the book of love is wrong. They kill us without Kabono, they say that the book of love is wrong. I don't know, to me, the book of love Kabono is just nothing, not a thousand. Nothing. In Tibet, they have prayer machines. You know, you set two different pieces of paper and you run it through the machine. Well, sometimes I feel many people who come they're running a Tibet machine, just go through the routine, it means absolution. It means absolution. I imagine it's very difficult. You have to come on it throughout the entire thing. But to have no come on it throughout the entire thing, this is for an intelligent person, to say the least, do not understand. I will use a hard word, but how can a person, otherwise intelligent, say they go through the fields and don't give one thought that is not part of the temple?